fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What is up, everyone? Maggie should be here shortly. So I hope everyone's doing good. Today is July 27th, Saturday, which is a special edition of Coexisting with Rob for now. But Maggie will be here, I'm assuming. But I hope everyone's doing well. Last night we had a lot going on with both a taped SmackDown, then you also had AEW Rampage, and you had Ring of Honor. Death Before Dishonor. So big action-packed night, and then just other things going on with WrestleMania possibly being in London, and you also have my personal favorite this week is Drew McIntyre and Jack Perry posting a photo of themselves together from, I assume it was Wednesday night or Tuesday night, maybe, who knows, in Nashville. They posted a photo together. That was pretty solid. I really thought that was cool, because we know how CM Punk's history with both men now. So, and I love that Drew and Perry was cool enough to do this to keep the storyline going, and I think it's fantastic. But I love the fourth wall stuff, breaking the fourth wall. So that was very, very enjoyable for me. I do not know where Maggie is, but I know she's, there she is, she's sending me a message. Oh, she cannot connect her headphones, she says. Okay. So I'm sure she's working on that, trying to get that together. But she should be here pretty soon. So I'm just replying a message to her back, and we will pretty much get started. I haven't done a show by myself before, and it's interesting. I would have waited, but I didn't hear anything from her, so I was like, I better just go ahead and go. So, for now, if anybody wants to shoot some questions over or something, I can answer those, but before Maggie gets here. But, yeah, otherwise, Doc, I probably will send you a text to join me here pretty soon if she has some issues with her. There she is. Look at that. She made it. Hi.
This is such bullshit, by the way. I'm using my old headphones, which suck, and I have no idea what's going on with my old headphones. Hi, guys. I'm sorry. Hello. This is so not unlike me. I hate this. I'm sorry, Rob.
Oh, it's okay. You know, I don't know what's going on, so I just started. Usually,
I texted you.
I didn't. My phone's on silent whenever I do the show.
Yeah, so. on both, you know, sets of, you know, chats that we have. I'm sorry for, you know, but I've been having like for half an hour trying to connect my headphones, and I couldn't, and this sucks.
Gotcha. Well, guys, as we start every show, I would say, Maggie, how you doing? But sounds like you're having headphones issues, but
yeah,
you had an interesting past couple of days with everything going on with the music festival that you attended. So yeah. You said that was pretty emotional time for you. So
it was.
Tell us about it.
Well, so the festival is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So on Thursday, Korn were playing on the main stage. They were, you know, the main eventers, so to speak. Before that, we saw Skindred and Spirit Box. So Skindred, we saw before in 2011, but they were the ones who were playing before Deftones. And everyone was there just to see Deftones. And I thought that, you know, we had a lot of stuff to give back to Skindred. I mean, we had to make amends for that. Because, like, Skindred always make a wonderful show every time. And we couldn't, you know, we couldn't feel that because we just wanted to see Deftones. And it was the last day. I mean, it was a 3-day festival. We just wanted to go home. So Skindred were pretty good. But then Korn came. And I'm like, I've seen Korn before in 2005. I was 16. It was my first time visiting our capital. It was my first time traveling with a train. And I had a fever and kidney crisis. So so it was a fun time. I still flashed Monkey. I mean...
Yes. Did you flash this time too? Yeah.
No. I wanted to, but like I couldn't get to the stage because, believe me, a shit ton of people, Rob. Yeah. A lot of people. And I'm not even kidding. This shouldn't be allowed. Like, that's a lot of people, you know, for my town. The stupid thing was that getting to the festival was really irritating. I mean, it's in our city. And it's not a big town. Like, nowhere near as big as, you know, American cities. So, you know, there's no public transportation in my city that's reliable. I waited for a bus for an hour and 15 minutes, and it didn't come. That's stupid. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to call a cab. I'm pissed off already, and I'm going to call a cab. And they said to me that their bosses, you know, the cab companies, told them not to drive people to that place because there are people who listen to metal music and they don't want to. And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, please be kidding. Like, you're saying that you hate money. You hate money. That's what you're saying. So it's okay. I got to the festival with a cab. I was already pissed off, like I said before. But like during Korn, you know, like, you listen to Korn, right, Rob? Like, you like Korn. Yeah. Okay. So Jonathan Davis came out with the coolest tracksuit ever. It was purple with shiny stuff on it. And everyone's talking about it, by the way. Everyone wants the tracksuit. And by the way, if I remove my headphones, I can hear the band playing. I mean, they're that, like, it's such a small town that I can actually hear the music festival going on right now. Actually, I can hear Suicidal Tendencies. That's the band that's playing right now. So it's like a mini society there because there's three stages and they're playing different kinds of music on the three different stages. And while Korn were playing, this huge dude who weighs about 9,000 pounds, with a Nazi tattoo on his back. Sure.
Jesus.
And a beer belly for days. Yeah. So he was so sweaty that it was as if he was taking 9 showers at the same time. So this dude mauled me Okay, he fell on top of me.
Because, oh, no.
Because you know mosh pits, right? Well, this is not a this is not a mosh pit, because like normal mosh pits, like there are people throwing around their limbs, and it's there's a safe perimeter around the mosh pit, okay? Like nothing can happen to you. What people do here, and it's so annoying, just people shoulder tackling each other. And it's really irritating because like you get hurt. Everyone around this place gets hurt. So he landed on top of me. And I was wet from his sweat. I was fucking wet. And the moment he got off me, and I was like, I was gonna puke, okay? Because that's so fucking disgusting. And it smells, and it's annoying. And like he fell on the floor. And when this happens, you know, the other people in the pit just help you get up. This is what happens. Like it's a rule. But because the guy was so sweaty, like there was slippery. Get him up because he was so sweaty. And I was just start laughing my ass off. And during this time, Korn were playing God the Life. And I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. This is just ridiculous. Then the festival ended. I had to go home really, really quickly. And so we got a ride with this girl. This is a 14-year-old girl, which we were protecting, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, during the concert. And her father came to get her. He was riding a Tesla. This is my first time on a Tesla. And we were in a hurry to get in the car. And I'm like, how the fuck do you open this? Like, what is... it doesn't have a handle, Rob. And they're like, push it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I push it. And this was my first time on a Tesla. I swear, live in this century. So fast forward to today, you can imagine the amount of stuff I blew out of my nose. Like, I feel like the entirety of the city's dump is inside my nose. It is so irritating. Like that's dust, and all sorts of stuff I do not want to mention whatsoever. Bring Me the Horizon last night. I had no idea that I was going to cry so much. I just cry because like this is the band that reminds me of my late teens and early 20s. And this is when, you know, you think that you're going through so much and you have no idea what's about to happen. And this was the band that I was listening to a lot. And I cry throughout the entire set. And I didn't expect that to happen. So today I opened up the bar and I played all their albums. And I was expecting today to be the hardest shift ever because I feel like I've been working for 13 days and this is my second shift. This was only my second shift. I feel so drained. I feel like a couch potato. I only look good because I have makeup on. But do you know what saved my life today, Rob?
No.
Americans.
Okay.
Americans. Yeah. My favorite military Navy guys, they're here and they're leaving tomorrow. So what happened today, so they're having a bachelor party for one of them. And he's dressed as a chicken. And what they're doing is that he's going around different bars in my town. And he's sending them photos of him drinking something. And they need to guess which bar he's in. And it's like a scavenger hunt. And they need to find the guy.
Okay.
I love those guys. They're leaving tomorrow. And I'm so sad. It's like... And one of them looks like a real-life Ken doll. I fell in love. He's my age and I fell in love. And I'm like, are we getting married? Yeah.
And what did he say?
Oh, he laughed a lot. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm going to take that as a no. So it was still a really fun shift. I know that you're not used to me saying I have fun shift, even though, like, I want to sleep for 2 weeks after, you know, the two nights I've had. But this is a wrestling podcast, by the way. Hi guys, I'm sorry for being late and rambling on for 10 minutes. I'm so sorry. But since you are here, please leave a like on the video. Subscribe to Fightful Select. It is incredibly important. You're going to get a lot of scoops up ahead of SummerSlam, which is next week, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh my God, it's next week. Okay, yes. If you're feeling generous, please send a super chat. It's at the bottom of the YouTube live chat, the little dollar sign. If you're not, I'm sorry, I just burped. it's okay. If you're watching on other platforms, you can watch, you can send a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. We appreciate you immensely. Thank you for being so patient with me. I have no idea what's happening on Ring of Honor. Last night, I only saw that Athena is All Elite, so what the hell? What? Just what?
I actually didn't see that, but I know she wrestled last night. And
I know she did, but like I have no idea what happened. I was only able to watch the kickoff show, and I don't know if that matters at all whatsoever. So, yeah.
Well, I know there was talk that she was going to start, like, eventually wrestling on Dynamite or, like, mm-hmm. AEW, so maybe that was what they were talking about, but
sure.
That's the only thing I could tell you. So, but yeah, it was a good show. I mean, from what I've seen and stuff, like I enjoyed it. So it was a good show. So.
I have to catch up. I usually adore Ring of Honor pay-per-views because like they're really. They always deliver. I mean, the thing is, if I realized that there was a Ring of Honor pay-per-view on this week's Dynamite. And having in mind, I am so out of everything that's like almost everything wrestling-wise because of the festival and all the work I've been doing. That it's like I feel like I haven't watched wrestling in 2 months, by the way. I've watched all the wrestling apart from Ring of Honor. So, like, that's really, really weird for me. By the way, this may be, like practice for you. Because when we leave for our team building, you know, for our week at, you know, our creek.
Yeah.
You're going to watch all the wrestling because I won't be able to watch any wrestling. We don't have any internet service there, and when I come back you're gonna have to tell me everything that happened in the wrestling week, and I can just react to everything that you tell me. So like, yeah, so this will be kind of exciting for everything.
All right, not a problem. Well, we have a super chat, so we'll start off with that and then we'll start talking some more wrestling here. Eric Freed, thank you for the super chat. He says, hi team, on my podcast yesterday my guest compared Harry Potter to Star Wars, so I'm wondering, any wrestlers more similar than people would think? So you want us to compare, like, wrestlers that are, like...
You want the, like, Eric, sweetie, are you talking about wrestlers being similar to other wrestlers? Like, is this, because I don't actually understand the question. Like, is this the question?
Are you saying, like, what wrestlers would be Harry Potter and what wrestlers would be Star Wars characters?
Yeah, I'm just, like, that's yeah. Also, like, a wonderful question because, like, I can see AJ Styles being a Sith Lord. I can totally see that.
Yeah. You know who I could see being Obi-Wan Kenobi? The from the first movies?
Don't
double J, Jeff Jarrett, J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R-E-double-T.
Did somebody just say Jeff Jarrett? J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R-E-double-T, Jeff fucking Jarrett.
Thank you, Cassidy Haynes. Appreciate
Not
that.
Not Cass.
I'm going after everybody you care about, Maggie. Thank you, Cassidy Haynes of BodySlam.net, for that. I appreciate it. So you're taking all my friends away. Yes, all of them.
You're taking all my friends away.
Mwahaha.
All of my friends. I have no friends.
Okay,
zero.
So,
okay.
He's like, so Bret Hart is like Canadian Sting. Okay, well,
I
mean,
oh, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a tough question.
That's some food for thought there.
Wrestlers in different promotions, but do this like same style gimmicks.
I will always compare Kenny Omega to Bret Hart, but like that's in my head. Chad Gable and Kurt Angle, obviously.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right wow, that's, I was just gonna say that.
Yeah, but like that's right there. Like the yeah. like the comparison's always been there. Also, Will Ospreay to Kenny Omega. That's a given. I know that way before, I'm talking way before, people were comparing Roman Reigns with Okada. I do not see that.
I put Tanahashi and John Cena like from
Tanahashi and John Cena is really okay. Yeah. I can see that.
Bret Hart and Sting's a good one. I mean, but that's from a Scorpion Deathlock to Sharpshooter. I mean, I would actually put like Bret Hart more of a. Man, that's a tough one too, man. I guess Bret Hart and Sting would be pretty similar. It's just Bret was a better technician wrestler. So I mean, I would actually put like one of my dream matches was always Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle. That was always one of my dream matches.
Obviously. So. Obviously. I mean, at the beginning of Sasha Banks' career, I always compared Sasha Banks and AJ Lee. But, like, that's okay. Just me. I will always want a match between the two of them. Like, that's a dream match that will always be in my head. MJF to Seth Rollins, Bunkers, I can see that. I can see that. But, like, I see Ben Carter in... to Seth Rollins because like Ben Carter is Seth Rollins' protege and I'm talking about Nathan Fraser. Did I get that right? Yeah, Nathan Fraser.
Nathan Fraser.
But like it's they're Padawan and Lord. So
yeah.
apprentice while we're talking about Star Wars stuff. So yeah.
And
that was a really fun question. Thank you, Eric, for that. Like, that's made my brain move a little. By the way, I didn't mention this, but the music festival that I'm attending is called Hills of Rock. And I actually wanted to make today's Cooper Effect the festival because, it's always brought me, you know, it's not only a festival in Bulgaria, which I attend, but it's a festival in my city, like that I grew up in, and it's a big thing, and it's wonderful. And it's just, you know, makes a big community of people come together and eat and everything. Like, just, it's absolutely wonderful. It's a wonderful time. And I'm actually kind of a little bit sad that I'm not there today, but not because of the bands. It's okay. I have no trouble missing.
Yeah,
I'm missing out Suicidal Tendencies, which is a band I've seen before. Eric, Tommaso Ciampa and Triple H, like you, are you? R-Truth or something?
Yeah, R-Truth. That guy's a genius. Today. Yeah, happy birthday to Triple H. I'm very proud of you, the Cerebral Assassin. You did that today.
Freaking genius, man. Just never change.
Yeah. So Maggie, I know you said you were. You were busy with wrestling, or you didn't really know what was going on this week with wrestling-wise. So, I don't know if you saw this or not. Did you see this?
I didn't see it, but I saw that you put it on the thumbnail, and I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, So,
you know, AEW was in Nashville this past week for Blood and Guts. That's actually where... Quite a few, I was going to say quite a few WWE stars, but, like, that's where Sheamus lives, Drew McIntyre, Miro lives there. Just, Stu Bennett.
A bunch of people live there.
Yeah, Wade Barrett. So, yeah, Wade Barrett lives there. So, Mickey James and Nick Aldis. So, I mean, there's quite a bit that live there. So, it doesn't surprise me that a lot of wrestlers like meet up and stuff like that. So I think that was absolutely fantastic. And that was going to be my talking point for to start the show is, has any wrestler benefited more from Brawl In than Drew McIntyre? Like,
no.
From a character standpoint? I mean, it's just absolutely just... I think it's great. I like that he's a
menace. I'm so happy.
I love it. Because it's... I mean, if you would have told me that this... Like, right before the Royal Rumble, that, hey, by SummerSlam, Drew McIntyre is going to be the one that benefited the most out of all of this, I'd be like, I don't get you.
No,
I don't
one would have
it.
Believed
so,
you whatsoever. Yeah, no.
But it's just, I love it. And I said to start the show before you got on here, I love it when the fourth wall is broken, you know, like that stuff. Like the, we're...
Talking about the fourth wall, I forgot to tweet out my tweet, so I'm just going to tweet it now.
Yeah. So,
you know,
so,
the live thing?
Yeah, no, that's fine. So that's my thing. I just think it was just... like unbelievable, and that he's been so good at this. And in a way, like, I mean, if you look at it, this feud has been going on since technically almost, well, February, you know, so that's like 6 months almost, technically. I mean, there's some time off between that, but it's a storyline that's gone on for 6 months or close.
Well, if we have to be technical about it, it started the moment CM Punk came, because of the barging out, you know, of Drew
McIntyre.
Well,
yeah, that and...
That was, I know. Okay, I understand completely that this wasn't a part of anything whatsoever at the time, but it was so perfectly aligned with everything that's happened afterwards.
Yeah.
I love this. It's because you... I mean, I'm sure that CM Punk is giving him the green light to do that. I assume.
Yeah,
but
from what I understand and I've read is that's the case. A lot of it's been talked about beforehand. I don't know about that photo, though. but that was pretty interesting.
I don't know about the photo, too, but it's... At this point, you gotta think that this is gonna be the main event for SummerSlam, right?
No,
Cody. Are you sure?
Yeah, it's Cody, and
I don't think so. I think that this is like not my main event. Okay, not my main event. My main event has to be Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. I'm sorry, but like these people have, I mean, it's one of the storyline. It's the storyline that I'm invested in the most at the moment, because it's rooted in real life story. Because I'm sure that Drew McIntyre really doesn't like CM Punk. I'm sure that this is correct. But, like, they're both, you know, at the point where they decided they can make money off of this.
Yeah.
And having in mind that CM Punk doesn't use Twitter, this is the reason why Drew McIntyre is actually winning at this, you know, with the back and forth. Because, like, CM Punk can cut just, like, so many, you know, pipe bombs and you know, promos in the ring. But I kind of feel like Drew McIntyre... I mean, how can there be people who are still booing the guy? He has told zero lies.
Yeah.
Like, zero lies.
Yeah.
He hasn't lied once.
I'll give you that, and it's just been really, like, good stuff. But as far as, like, the main event, the reason why, I think deep down you know why it's not going to be the main event, because Roman Reigns is returning, more than likely.
Oh, I totally forgot about Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I mean, obviously nobody knows for sure, but, I mean, they they're writing it like it's got to happen, you know? So I think if it doesn't happen, they're letting a lot of people down. So, but that's, well, that's the thing.
Not, we'll if get... it's not happening, if it's not happening, do you think that they will make us know before that without telling us he's not showing?
The only way they would do that if it's not the main event, but I don't see them.
Yeah.
I this just, you have to go with that being a main event match for that stadium, I believe. So.
Okay.
It's going to be good stuff, but some other news that went on this week is Mikko Satomura. She's announcing her retirement. She'll be retiring sometime next year. She was doing some house shows in Japan with WWE. They had some stacked cards. You got to see. I liked how they brought in a lot of the big New Japan people. Like, they did a super show. They brought in, like, AJ Styles.
Nakamura. Because, like...
Finn Balor. So, like, you got...
Of course they're going to utilize guys on that.
Yeah. Yeah, and G.O.D., you know, like, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa were there teaming. So, just good stuff all around for that. And I'm glad that... I like it when they do international shows. I know the Japan shows aren't nearly, they're not going to be like the France and the London shows because they don't do the chants and stuff like that, but they appreciate the wrestling more from that standpoint, like the in-ring, and that's just the way that
so
they are, and that's perfectly fine. I think it's pretty good, too. I like it.
Are they still going for NXT Japan? Is this still a thing?
I haven't heard anything. Yeah, I don't think that's happening. I think if anything, they're just working with the other promotions, like Noah, you know, Pro Wrestling Noah. I think that's what they're doing. They're just working with other organizations. I actually see that happening in the UK more now than I was seeing in NXT UK. So. I could see them working with a promotion there. So
did Nakamura win?
Nakamura, he... Let's see here. He... No, I think he was in a triple threat match. Yeah, he did win one match. He teamed with Kevin Owens in LA Knight and beat the Bloodline.
Sure.
Yeah. Because there he's...
What's more random...
Yeah, I know. But that is an interesting matchup, though. But yeah,
like, you had, now like, I want to see it.
Yeah, and you also had, like, Io Sky was there. So.
Yeah, and Asuka was there.
Well, if she was there, I don't... Oh, yeah, she was there. Yep, she was
there. She was there, yeah. I saw a picture, but, like, she probably wasn't wrestling. I mean,
no, she obviously wasn't. She was just on the...
Yeah, of course.
Sidelines.
She's still injured, right?
Yeah.
She's recovering? Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, go on.
This house show was loaded. I mean, the house shows this week that they had, you had Gunther versus Jey Uso, Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles, Judgment Day versus The New Day, Damian Priest versus Rey Mysterio, Bayley and Bianca and Jade Cargill, and Mikko Satomura taking on Tiffany Stratton, Kairi Sane, Io and Dakota Kai, Liv Morgan... And so Io wrestled twice. Liv Morgan wrestled her. And then, of course, I said Kevin Owens, LA Knight, and Shinsuke versus the Bloodline, and just stuff like that. So, I mean, that was a loaded house show.
So, I'm just going to go ahead and assume that Cody's promo from last night was shot in Japan, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, because, like, it looked really fancy. I wondered if it was in Japan.
Yeah, did you see that cool. They gifted him his dad's, his dad's, like, hat and his robe that he wore in Japan?
Really?
Like, on a tour? Yeah, let me see if I can find that picture. It's pretty cool. He was pretty emotional about it because it was something he wasn't expecting. But it was really cool.
Well, that's so sweet. That's really awesome. By the way, did you give me access to the document you sent me?
I think so.
No, you didn't. Said access denied. Well, denied.
There's a little production note for everybody. So let's fix that but I'm going to look for the photo first, so.
Yeah, please.
Something else that happened that I really liked in the Cody Rhodes AJ Styles match.
Okay.
After it was over, you had this go on here. Let's see. Gonna load that up, and they did the Too Sweet, like in Japan. So after the match,
this is a really, really wonderful photo. Is it a good quality photo?
It looks good from.
Okay, so can you send it to me in my email?
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful, wonderful photo.
Yeah, it was. I'll send that to you.
By the way, Throwback Sweetie, we love you. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in for as much as you could. Thank you.
Yeah, he was gifted the dusty gown is what one of the tweets says here, and I'm going to post that photo too for you. So I know the people that listen on podcasts, they can't really see these photos.
Yeah, obviously. The photos.
So you can check out the show or just go on Twitter. But yeah, this was gifted to him. And WWE's Twitter account does have video of it, so it's pretty cool. I definitely recommend watching it.
This is such a wonderful surprise. Like, Hi, Corey in the chat. Cody deserves this so much.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was just really cool. I like things like that. But, as far as Raw this past week, was there anything that stood out for you? Because for Raw and NXT, nothing really stood out too much for me this past week.
Of course, the Mommy and the Dominic stuff. Are you kidding? Judgment Day stuff was really interesting because it's planting of the seeds for something great at SummerSlam. What happened?
Okay.
So, like, you had an expression as if you found out something and you're like, oh,
no,
shit.
No.
Okay. So Finn Balor tells Dominic to destroy Jay, right? So you need to destroy the guy. You need to fight the guy. But Rhea is like, no one touches Jey Uso. And I'm like, ooh. This is so cool. So she basically said that there's no point in anyone touching Jey Uso. Nevertheless, they just go and search for the guy. And Dominic finds Liv. And Liv Morgan leaves when Finn Balor appears. This is really good. I'm enjoying the slow burn. I mean, like, he took her hotel key card. They've been seen backstage during, you know, different taping segments. It's really wonderful. It's really good. I can't wait to see what happens next. And when Rhea was so pissed off that she couldn't take it anymore, she took Dom to the ring, which is really weird in kayfabe because we're going to go ahead and have a big fight. Let's do it in front of everyone.
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird. So they got to the ring. And Liv Morgan interrupts them from, you know, what do you call it? The stairs from the audience. I don't know what's that called. I'm pretty sure it has a specific name, but I have no idea what it is. So, Liv Morgan pretty much said that gorgeous men like Dominic do not go for girls like Rhea. They go for girls like me, which is, I take that personally, okay, Liv? You're pretty and gorgeous, and that's why you're getting away with this, okay? So, let's dial it down, okay? Yeah, so she tells Dominic, go ahead, tell everyone what you're thinking. And he's like, I hate you. I hate your guts. I want you to leave me alone. And Liv Morgan played it so good. Like, she started crying, and then she turned around and left, and I'm like, it is so happening. Dominic Mysterio is so gonna screw Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, and go to, or, yeah, that's what's going. Okay, listen, are you ready? So,
yeah,
Dominic Mysterio chooses Liv Morgan, okay, and he betrays Rhea, and then, just as about, as Liv Morgan is about to, you know, hug Dominic Mysterio, she's been allied with Finn Balor the entire time. Ooh. And Finn Balor, yeah, and he screws him, and then he leaves the Judgment Day because everyone thinks that the Judgment Day is gonna turn on Damian Priest. It's not necessarily the thing, because like Finn Balor can go away, because I think it's because like Finn Balor has been shown in this tag team partner thing. I feel like it's time for, you know, the little bird to leave the nest, please.
You know, something that you said that made sense there is, what would be kind of cool now that I think about it would be, let's say that Dom does turn on Rhea and he joins up with Liv, but Liv, like, after it happens, Liv doesn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah.
And then, like, Finn attacks Dominic. That leaves Dom, like, he doesn't have anything. Like, he doesn't have Liv or
exactly.
Rhea. That would be interesting.
It's so good.
That would be good.
It's so good. I love this. Give me more.
That would be very interesting if they did that. That way, oh, man, that would be interesting. I just don't see it because I think that, I mean, I hope so, but, it's a very intriguing. I like that. So, but we'll talk more about that. Like, and who knows, that could change because next week we'll be doing our SummerSlam predictions on Friday. So,
I feel like this story progresses. The progression of the story has been fascinating to me because, like, they've done a little bit each and every week. There's been progression every week. Like, you kind of feel like it's really, really slowly, but it really hasn't. I don't know how the story would have went if Rhea Ripley wasn't injured, but it played out perfectly. At least for me.
Yeah, for sure. What about NXT?
NXT. Oh yeah, I did have some, you know, NXT stuff. Let me just get Ethan Page. I know I gave them the benefit of the doubt, you know, from the win, because like he won in a really, I didn't want Ethan Page to win the NXT championship in the way that he did.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that, like at all. But the thing is, Ethan Page is incredibly funny. It's incredibly entertaining in the storyline that he has right now with Oro Mensah, because like all that Oro wants is a match with Ethan Page, and now it's for the championship. Because like he's doing the thing where he attacks him and then he pins him, but like, and everyone, oh, he got you. That's not a match. It doesn't count. Why does everyone act like it counts? Like, this is kind of bugging me. But the Rascals pinning your NXT tag team champions was kind of a the match was really awesome. And I totally understand the reasoning behind them pinning Axiom himself. Because here's the story. Axiom was mad at Nathan because Nathan entered the speed tournament, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And Axiom was like, we need to focus on our tag team title defense. This is a distraction. And Nathan was like, no, I think I got this. So they defended successfully their championships. And this week, Axiom was like, I saw what you meant. And I'm entering the speed tournament. I always say, almost say speedball tournament because I like Mike Bailey. But like, that's who doesn't, okay? So Axiom entered the speed tournament, and Nathan is pissed off now. And he's like, no, no, you should be focused on this. Axiom says, well, I saw how you how focused you were, and that's why I entered. And then Axiom got pinned. So I understand where they're going, but where they're going doesn't necessarily interest me because they're going towards them splitting up yet another NXT tag team. And I'm not okay with that. They're a dying breed, I suppose. NXT stars being a part of Slammiversary and them not mentioning this whatsoever, it was kind of a decision.
Yeah, I didn't care for that.
They could have done something. I mean, at least
Joe Hendry was working NXT last night at a live event, so it's just kind of like.
Well, he's gonna have an acoustic concert next week on NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
I can't wait for that. It's gonna be so entertaining.
So, yeah. AEW Dynamite Blood and Guts was Wednesday.
Oh my god.
So one of my favorite parts of the show is something that not many people talked about, and it was just a comment from Taz. It was during the Chris Jericho Minoru Suzuki match where he says, "I never saw myself rooting for another guy with a black towel over his head, but here, like,
oh my god, it, yeah, that's what he said."
I loved it because obviously that's what Taz used to do. So, and Taz is very protective of his gimmicks, as we know. Just ask Jordan Grace.
God.
But I did get a kick out of that. I thought that was good. How he's like, "I never thought I'd root for." Another guy with a black towel, but I did think that was good. You had the return of Britt Baker. She took on Hikaru Shida. It was good to see her back.
What did you think of that match?
It was a good match, but it wasn't obviously their best match that they've had. I mean, those two are...
The bar is really up.
Yeah, that's the thing. The bar is like set really high. And yeah. Those two will always be...
Yeah,
linked together in my book, because that was the first good women's feud in AEW. Like from
I
the kind beginning.
Of feel like yeah, and the stupid thing was it was because of the blood, it was because of the busted nose and everything.
Yeah,
and the way they handled themselves in this situation.
And that made, and in my opinion, that made Britt Baker a star. Kind of,
it
like,
did.
I'm not comparing it to. I want to make sure this is clear. I'm not comparing it to Stone Cold Steve Austin, like when he WrestleMania 13, because Stone Cold just went on a different level. But it kind of like it elevated. That's where like the common denominator is. They both got elevated after the blood. The biggest thing that happened out of that match was the debut of Camille.
So what do you think happens next? Because like, what happened was. Sure. What happened was Mercedes Moné came out and she was like, "Let me answer your proposal. I say no to the match at All In." And of course, all of us are not happy about this because like this is a marquee match.
Yeah.
And the match everyone was talking about when rumors first started surfacing about Sasha Banks going to AEW and her attending Wembley last year. So what happened was Camille, out of nowhere, fucking monster, okay? She did a blue thunder bomb from a torture rack that looked so amazing. And so dominant. I'm like, I'm sold. Like, this, just book her how you should have been booking Wardlow this entire time, please.
Now you know what's going to happen. I mean, this is early. Obviously, I think what they're doing is setting this up for Jamie Hayter to return at All In. And
thank you. Whew, exactly.
And
because fairly recently, like, right before or after Dynamite, people said that it was the anniversary of Bayley debuting on the main roster as Sasha Banks' opponent, tag team partner against Charlotte Flair and Dana Brooke. I don't even want to remember that these two were a team. I just never. And I'm talking about Charlotte Flair and Dana Brooke, not Sasha Banks and Bayley. They were wonderful together. So this has to be the way that this is handled. Like Britt Baker not, you know, acting as if she can't find anyone for her match. And they're like, oh, the guest has to be a handicap match. And then, I found an opponent, a tag team partner. I'm sorry. Tag team partner. And then out comes Jamie Hayter.
I think they're going to do a singles match. And it's just going to be that what I think is going to happen. This is just, granted, it's a very early prediction. And I could change it by then. But I think what's going to happen is they're going to have their one-on-one match. And Jamie Hayter's going to come in the middle, like, going to come out, like, during the match is what I think is going to happen.
Well, what makes sense for me, because, and we're going to talk about this when we talk about Blood and Guts. What I think can happen is that Jamie Hayter can come back and they can have the match, and Mercedes Moné says, if you guys can beat us, you can have your match at All Out.
That makes sense, too.
Because, like, you know, and this is something that was bugging me throughout Blood and Guts. What's the end result of someone winning a match? Give me a reason why you want to win this match. Apart from, you know, having stakes. I want stakes for the matches.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's like any match. You just want to win. I mean, that's the purpose. I mean, this was for, like, this match per se was for, the stakes was AEW being better than the Elite is what they were going for. I thought the Elite would win. But
the way come to think about it, the Elite winning wouldn't have made any sense because, like, they would have won two matches in a row, and, like, why the hell would you continue to do that? Yeah. And I will always remember of FTR versus the Briscoes because, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Why the hell would you want a third match when, you know... The same team won the first two matches, and you were like, well, because I want to. Like, it was because it was an excellent, excellent match, and, like, each and every match was better than the last one, except for that, you know, dog collar match, which is so, like, the best dog collar match there ever will be in history, like, ever. It's, but just let's not talk about that match, because, like, I'm going to get really emotional again. And right. Everything. So
okay. Continue,
please.
Well, if you want to talk about AEW, go ahead.
With the Blood and Guts match.
Yeah.
What did you think about the match?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it's not one of their best ones, but I mean, that, again, the bar set pretty high. But as long as I enjoyed it, I thought it was pretty good.
You think that it wasn't one of their best? Because I personally think that this was probably their best Blood and Guts match.
I think the one with Jericho going through the paper. I thought that was a hell of a match. That's probably my favorite one. I'm not saying this was. The thing is with AEW, I always tend to, I think they put on so many great things that it's kind of hard to outdo themselves for me.
It is.
And that's
it
a compliment, because I still know when it's a great match or a good match, so it's just they put it like on a, I grade differently, so it, I'm not saying they're bad by any means. I think it was a great match or in a good match. So it's just one of those things where I should say it like I prefer the other ones. I'm not saying that this was bad. I just enjoyed this. I was starting to get worried about Jack Perry. I was like, I don't know if he's going to give up, you know, or,
yeah. And
they did eventually. And I almost for a split second thought Darby was still going to do it afterward. Like, shit, he might.
Yeah. Like everything that's been happening, like the I Quit match between, Cody and AJ quit and just keep, threw the stairs at him anyway.
Yeah. So I was that's what I kind of was wondering, but overall the ending was pretty good.
I don't know why Jeff Jarrett was involved. Like I could have done with that, and that. No. Like what? Just don't look for the video. Just
no, I'm not.
I'm so hurt from Cassidy. I'm heartbroken, okay? Incredibly, incredibly heartbroken.
Yeah. No.
I expected more from you, Cass, and your lovely hair and all your puppies and dogs.
Yeah, the thing is I don't have to look for the video because it's right here.
Did somebody just say Jeff Jarrett? JEFFJARRET Jeff fucking Jarrett.
You know, the good thing is that you're never going to get one from Kate. Okay? Because she loves me more. You're never, never going to get that from Kate. Never, ever, ever.
You never know. I've done a lot of favorites for Kate.
This isn't a dare, by the way.
I've done a lot of favorites for Kate, so we shall see. This might be a challenge.
Kate dislikes Jeff Jarrett more than me.
Hey.
I'm just, like you said, know, I'm just saying. Yeah.
Like so, I'm not saying Blood and Guts. Challenge, but no.
Let's move on, okay? Blood and Guts. I have a lot of thoughts on Blood and Guts. Personally, how I would describe this match was probably the best Blood and Guts match with the poorest build ever.
Like, oh, I'll say that for damn sure. The build was
Built
awful.
Was non-existent. It didn't happen. Where's the build? I'm blind for the build because it's not there. I can't see the build. The match had no stakes, and I'm probably saying this for the fifth time on this podcast. Give me a reason why this match is important for anyone to win. Okay? Like, and Tony Khan stopped being involved in this storyline. Just I hope that everyone's aware of this, because this entire thing started with them beating the crap out of Tony Khan, okay? I don't know if anyone remembers this, because I forgot about it, and I remembered like yesterday. Oh, this entire thing started with them attacking TK. And TK hasn't said anything apart from wearing a neck brace on a draft. Which was hilarious, by the way. It was really fun. And then he said what he said and became weird again. They're really, really playing. Amon Amarth just started playing.
Okay. There you go.
I mean, I don't know why I even went to the concerts. I could have listened to them here. Okay, so I like the fact that Jack Perry and Darby Allin started the match, because, like, they're one of your pillars, and this is a wonderful way to put over two of your pillars, probably. We got the expected... I didn't expect scissor shots. This was okay. Okada entered the ring with a street sign. So I enjoyed the barbed wire board sandwich they did. They put thumbtacks in Max Caster's mouth and then super kicked him. I enjoy that. Do that every Dynamite. I wouldn't mind that. Okay, so one of the reasons why this match was so good for me was because while the awesomeness of Blood and Guts was happening, they actually furthered storylines like simultaneously. So Hangman's music hits, but he doesn't come out. He waits until Swerve comes out, and then he attacks him from behind, coming out of the face tunnel, because he still believes that he's right, and he fucking is. By the way, Swerve Strickland broke into his house and threatened his toddler. Why are people acting as if he's the babyface? This is ridiculous. Like, you're supporting, you know, people breaking into other people's houses and threatening their family members. That's not okay. So what happened was Hangman handcuffed Swerve to the cage. And while this was happening, Matt Jackson was screaming at Hangman, if you don't enter the cage, you're fired. And then Hangman quit whatever the hell he was doing to Swerve. And then he entered the cage. And Matt Jackson made the referee start the match. The referee didn't want to because Swerve was still outside, you see. And the match couldn't start without, you know, everyone entering the ring. That's when Jeff Jarrett got involved with Cutler and Billy Gunn. Extremely important that he got a paycheck, you know, both of them. At least Jeff Jarrett was a part of that gauntlet match that, while rampage or whatever. Was Brandon? Yeah, Brandon Cutler was also a part of that, but he got him eliminated like 5 milliseconds, like that story. So Hangman entered the cage. So did Swerve at some point also. The thing is, Hangman and Okada have incredible tension between each other. And I'm gonna go ahead and guess that this is going to be the match for Wembley this year. Okada versus Hangman. Please give me that. Give me all of it.
Wait, you think the main event Swerve versus...
No, Hangman versus Okada is going...
Oh, sorry, I misunderstood. Sorry, Wembley. Gotcha.
Yeah, gotcha. No. Okay. Wait, no.
Okay.
So, because, like, Okada shoved Hangman a lot, because the whole thing started, you know, a week or two ago, when, you know, the tension between the two of them. I can't wait for this match. Have they fought against each other in previously?
I think they fought in New Japan. But I'll
okay.
Check
okay. So, of course, Hangman hit Okada accidentally with a buckshot lariat. So, there you go. One of the storylines is there. So Darby did the insane spot with the coffin drop from the top of, you know, the cage.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that Darby Allin just wants to fucking die in the ring. I understand everyone that loves Darby Allin. Believe me, I do. I understand you people. He's still not in my demographic. I'm not, like, Darby Allin isn't for me, but I totally understand why people adore the guy. Like, he will gladly give away his body for the entertainment of the masses.
Yeah.
And, have they fought each other?
Yeah, they've had one singles match at the 2018 New Japan G1 Climax.
Okay.
So the fifth show, that was during Block A, but they've had tag matches against each other, and then they've had the IWGP World Heavyweight Title at Forbidden Door in 2022, where it was Jay White versus Adam Cole, Hangman, and Okada.
Okay.
So they've been in the ring a few times. So, but this will be their second if they were to wrestle against each other at All Out or All In. That would be
their second
singles match.
Okay. So the precious thing about Okada is that because when Swerve finally hit the ring,
I think it was Okada Hangman. I might have said something else. So.
Okay. You were, I suppose you were talking about Okada Hangman.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. So when Swerve finally entered the ring, he started stapling everyone. Okay. Like he got some staples, stapled everyone, and then Okada came out. And he went for the Rainmaker, but he gave him the finger instead. Okada is having the time of his life, and you can totally tell. Bowens fell on two stacked tables on the outside from the top of the ladder. Hope the guy's okay. Could have been Max Kester, just FYI. Jack Perry got handcuffed to the insides of the cage, unlike Swerve, who was outside. So, he starts taking kendo shots from Mark Briscoe. And then, at the end, Mark Briscoe gave him a naughty, unprotected chair shot, and I hope that the chair was a gimmick one.
It's, like, the way it sounds, based on the call that Tony had it, it sounds like it was a gimmicked chair, I believe.
Okay.
But it didn't sound like one.
It didn't sound that's why I hoped that it was a gimmick, because it sounded legitimate. And the only thing I was expecting from Jack Perry was him to no sell the chair shot for 2 seconds, for him to break the fourth wall, look directly into the camera and said, "Real chair, cry me a river." And, you know, okay, so Darby Allin gets a microphone and says, "Quit. Bitch, quit." And he's like, "No." And Darby goes, "Okay, let's get this party started." And he starts looking for something for half an hour. Okay. So he even got in the ring and asked for one of the referees. Was it Mike? No, it wasn't Mike Posey. I don't know who. I couldn't remember who the ref was. He asked the ref for help. That's fine. Like, shit happens. This is supposed to be clunky. Like, it's a blood and guts match. Yeah, so they stalled for a bit, but, like, everyone could tell that something was afoot. So Darby comes out with gasoline, and he pours it on Jack Perry. And commentary was like, "Yeah, you can smell what that is. Okay. I can tell from the bottle that it is. Like, I don't need to smell it. I can see what that is. Also, blood and guts match without Eddie Kingston and gasoline, not my blood and guts." I miss Eddie Kingston. So Jack Perry was like, "Okay, quit. Or I light you on fire." And I was like, "Please quit. Not for your sake, but your hair will burn." So I was more concerned with the hair. So the thing that happened here was Matt Jackson got on a microphone and he said, "Okay, we quit. This is ridiculous." This is exactly the words he said. "We quit. This is ridiculous." And Darby Allin says, "I want a TNT title shot against Jack Perry at All In." He said All In, right?
I think so.
I don't want to be mistaken. If someone in the chat can correct us, that's fine. He said, "Yeah, I want a TNT match." And he said, "Yeah, you got it. We quit. You get your match." And then they turned the camera towards Jack Perry, and he's so... Because, like, okay... Please tell me if I'm wrong, but Jack Perry looks like such an incredible badass right now.
Yes, because he Darby did not Jack, quit. Darby and Jack
at Wembley.
All in. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. So, did Jack Perry look like a babyface, the badass to you? Because like he did in my eyes, and Matt Jackson quitting in order for them to save Jack Perry is also kind of a real babyface thing for me.
And I think like, it was to. Yeah, I think that might be like the thing to make Jack Perry look good, was him not quitting, but that's the only way I look at it.
I'm not sure that people are going to like Jack Perry more after this. I feel like I'm the only one. I mean, I never hated Jack Perry to begin with. I always liked the guy. Like, whatever happened with CM Punk, I feel like CM Punk is having the time of his life over at WWE, and like everything, his storyline with Drew McIntyre is freaking awesome and everything, like we talked about this at the beginning of the show. But for me, Jack Perry, like he's, yeah, I understand his projection. I understand that he was the whole reason behind the showing of the tape. But I feel like he's benefited too from the situation. Not as much as CM Punk has, and I understand why, but I guess it's only me because I haven't seen anyone, you know, talking about this. That Jack Perry actually looked like a badass in this situation because, like, his expression was like, it was simultaneously pissed off that. Because they forfeited the match and he's pissed off, and simultaneously it felt like he was disappointed that he let the team down. I mean, like, it was a cocktail of emotions in his face.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe it was me. But what puzzled me even more was the fact that right after Blood and Guts Dynamite, they taped Rampage, and they had a
Rampage.
It was a Battle Royale gauntlet with, thingy.
Yeah, Battle Royale with cheese.
Yeah, Battle Royale with cheese. There you go. Where the winner of this Battle Royale without cheese would have gotten an that would get an opportunity against the champion at Grand Slam. And Darby Allin won. And tell me why.
I don't know. I didn't like it because that tells me right there that he's not going to win against Jack Perry. That's what it tells me. Now, granted, there's enough time to change, but
yeah,
that's what it tells me.
I mean, because whoever's champion, it's like Grand Slam is in New York, right?
Yeah. Yep. It'll be in New York. New York.
Yeah. Well, they could have had anyone. Okay. So whoever's champion, it's going to be a Washington State thing. Like, they could have had this match in a different... Because, like, it's going to be either Bryan Danielson or Darby? Did I froze or did you...
I don't know if it was me or you, but...
It doesn't matter. So, yeah, it's either going to be Bryan Danielson or Swerve against Darby. So it's a Washington State thing. I don't understand. And Darby... Again, not for me. And I don't know why he's getting all these, you know, where people are right there. Where's Josh Woods?
Well, I don't think he can go with Josh Woods for the main event match.
I know, but like, I just want to see Josh Woods on my television. Wasn't he at Ring of Honor last night?
Yeah, he's, Josh Woods.
I have the thingy with you, with me. I don't see Josh Woods anywhere.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing him.
No. Okay, so Josh Woods should be champion of all champions in Ring of Honor. Just saying. Hold all the gold. Not, please.
Yeah. So, the next, so, moving on from AEW, this earlier this week, it was said that the mayor of London met with none other than Triple H and Nick Khan. The mayor of London, his last name's Khan, his first name's, I don't want to say his first name because I'd probably butcher it, but I believe it's Sadiq. If I'm off on that, I apologize, but
don't look at me, I'm still not from London. I'm
just you're still not from London. Anyways, they talked about WrestleMania possibly being in London, England.
When?
Well, when? Not next. I guess the earliest it could be would be 2026, but I'm guessing
2027. I'm up for that. Like, give me a ticket right now.
2026, 2028, yeah. Who knows? But that'd be pretty cool.
I would love that. I would love that.
Yeah, that would be. It'd be pretty swell.
I'm obviously going to go.
I meant to say sweet. I meant sweet, but it would be pretty sweet if London got that. So I would assume it'd be probably Wembley, because I don't know, like, what other stadiums they have in that area that are... I mean, they have more because of, like, football, but I don't know, like,
which... Thank you, I was about to shout at you.
I don't know which stadium they would go to. I guess this is me just not trying to get tribalist going or anything, but I would bet WWE wants to try to get that like record. I think WWE like wants to try to get that record. That's just me. That's just me. That's my opinion. And no, I'm really
I'm
not.
Sure they
I
do.
Can't stand it when tribalists go freaking nuts on here. But that's just my history of knowing how WWE is. And I thought a lot of that crap would end after Vince, but it really doesn't seem like it has. To an extent, I don't think it's as bad. But that's just my thought.
I'm sure there's nothing wrong with WWE wanting to beat AEW's record when it came to Wembley. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, like, this would only light a fire under AEW's ass, because, like, I kind of feel like they've been slacking off a bit. It's just, let's get back to, you know, the thing that we did at, you know, at the beginning of AEW. So I see nothing wrong with that, and I will gladly attend the WrestleMania at Wembley, provided Sean gave me a pass for media, because I'm not paying all that money.
Faux show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just thought I'd bring that up. But as we talked...
So I can make my plans, right?
Yeah, why not? Anyways, we talked a lot about it already, but Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor took place last night at the Esports Stadium in Arlington, Texas. I'm just going to go through the matches really quick.
No, MXM. Don't do it quick. Just tell me, because, like, I just...
What do you mean?
Just not quickly. Let me have my time for reaction, because I haven't looked at your notes whatsoever, and I really don't want to.
Okay, sorry. Now I understand what you mean by slowly, I guess. So, MXM, they made their debuts last night. They took on the Spanish Announce Project.
Is this the pre-show? Because I watched the pre-show.
Yeah, 0 hour. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
And what I'll do is I'll ask you who won before, like, I give the answer, because I want to see your reaction.
Okay.
So MXM versus Spanish Announce Project. This is probably going to be an easy one, but who do you think won that?
MXM.
All right. Perfect.
Yeah.
So the next one for 0 hour was Marina Shafir versus Angelica Risk.
Marina Shafir.
Correct.
I feel like I should win something.
Yeah, you will win probably another Jeff Jarrett video next week.
Yay!
Yeah, see, it's the gift that keeps on giving there, Clark.
Yes, anyways, everybody wins.
Yeah, the Infantry taking on Griff Garrison and Anthony Henry.
Infantry.
Correct.
Yes.
Top Flight versus the Outrunners.
Top Flight, but I correct. Love the Outrunners, by the way.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty easy 0 hour to predict. But here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Commander, to start the regular card, Commander versus Beast Mortos.
Is this Black Taurus?
Yeah, that's who it was.
Yeah. Black Terus?
Correct. The Kingdom defending their titles against Kyle O'Reilly and Tomohiro Ishii.
The Kingdom.
Correct. Diamante versus Layla Hirsch in a Texas death match.
In a Texas death match. I wanted to see that match so much. It's did Diamante win?
No. Layla Hirsch won.
Oh my god! She got a push?
I guess. We'll see how long it lasts, huh?
Yeah.
Wheeler Yuta defending his pure title against Mr. Lee Moriarty.
Yuta lost, didn't he?
Yes. We have a new champion in Lee Moriarty.
New champ. I hope they do something with Lee Moriarty now. Because do you remember Samoa Joe pushing MJF in NXT?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, MJF shoved Lee Moriarty at the beginning of his... Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah. Billy Starks versus Red Velvet for the women's TV title.
Please tell me Red Velvet won.
Red Velvet is your new champion.
Oh my god, they're doing it. They're gonna do Billy Starks versus Athena. They're gonna do that. Yes. Fucking good.
Dustin Rhodes and the Von Erichs versus the Dark Order.
Oh, Dustin Rhodes and the Von Erichs. Yeah.
Correct.
Dark Order never win.
Yeah.
They never win.
Six-man TV title match. Leo Rush versus Atlantis Jr., Shane Taylor, Brian Cage, Lee Johnson, and Johnny TV. Again, you got Atlantis Jr., Leo Rush, Shane Taylor, Brian Cage, Lee Johnson, and Johnny TV.
Shane Taylor?
No, Atlantis Jr.
Really?
Yep.
Give Shane Taylor something. Give Shane Taylor a title, please.
Athena versus Queen Aminata.
It's Athena.
Correct.
I mean, they must do something with Queen Aminata, just saying, but like, yeah.
Mark Briscoe versus Roderick Strong for the Ring of Honor.
Roderick Strong won, right? Tell me what Roddy won.
I cannot tell you that because he did not win.
Fucking shit. I mean, I love Mark Briscoe, but like, I really wanted to see Roderick Strong with the title.
We do have a generous super chat from our good friend Soupy. Thank you, Soupy. He says, quick thoughts on Slammiversary. It was very entertaining live event. With local talents winning, call back to the screw job, then the after the shock elimination. Turn.
Yeah, so shout out to Soupy. He was attending live Slammiversary. I hope he had a really, really wonderful time. He sent me pictures of Jordynne Grace. Thank you, by the way. Because Joel probably didn't tell her that I love her. Thanks, Joel.
Probably.
Thanks
not.
For nothing. I love all my bosses. So Slammiversary was a pretty good show. You know, I had to watch it really, really fast. But every time I know that I have a friend in the audience, I tend to not watch the wrestling and just search for the people in the audience. I was looking for Soupy the entire time. Slammiversary was such a wonderful, wonderful show. I didn't expect Nick Nemeth to be your new champion. That was certainly a choice, because with the fame and Joe Hendry going to WWE, it doesn't matter if it's NXT and not the main roster, but like, he's had people holding signs about Joe Hendry on the main show and people singing his songs. It's it's such a wonderful thing. And I kind of thought that he was going to be the new champion. But him actually pinning Moose and him being the one to eliminate Moose, and he actually pinned the champion, this has to have some weight, I think. This has to, because I have no idea what happened on this week's Impact episode of Impact. So Josh Alexander turning heel, I don't know what to think about that. I really don't.
Yep. I was not expecting that.
I wasn't expecting that. I also wasn't expecting for Steve Maclin to get eliminated first, right? He got eliminated first. I was kind of pissed off about that, because like I know that both Rob and I are really, really big Steve Maclin people. So Josh Alexander turning heel, like because of everything that's happening with TNA and NXT, I feel like everything is happening because of that relationship. So you gotta wonder, do Josh Alexander and Ethan Page form Back the North?
I would because love it, but
That's on everyone's minds. I have no idea what Ethan Page and Josh Alexander's, you know, friendship status is. This is not my business. It is between the two of them. But if they can actually work with each other, this is going to be fucking awesome. Because I miss the North so much.
Yeah.
What did you think of the show?
I thought it was solid. I really do. I know, like, I mean, we don't know who. I mean, there were some surprises supposedly that were missed because of that whole airline situation that was going on in the States. There was a computer, like, issue, so a lot of people did not make flights, so I'm
the
sure.
The entire world had computer issues, by the way.
Oh, that's true. I didn't. You know, the world, it just centers around.
Yeah, America, here, right? But, it's fine.
So. That's my bad, but
yeah, but like this happened in Canada, so
yeah, Canada, yeah. Anyways, yeah, I thought it was a good show. I enjoyed it. I'm glad Soupy got to go. That's pretty cool.
He did.
I wish TNA would, and this isn't like a shot at like anybody, like any fans or anything. I just want them to go to different cities, and it looks like they might start.
Come to Bulgaria. I'm not even kidding. TNA, come to Bulgaria. I will probably be one of the five people there, but just I'm not even kidding. I really want to watch a TNA show. Like, there's places you guys can build a ring around, okay? Just come to Bulgaria and see how good you have it there. So
yeah, the five people there, you said.
Yeah, the five people there.
Yeah, that'll do it. So anyways, we usually don't get to do an AEW Collision pre-show, but or preview, but we are. Collision's taking place at the same venue that Ring of Honor was last night, the Esports Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Tonight, you have Orange Cassidy versus Johnny TV, the Beast Mortos taking on Hologram, MXM Collection taking on FTR.
Who's Hologram?
God, what was his name? Body Slam, our good friend Cassidy reported it. I think it's Aramis.
Okay, right? You mean Cassidy, the backstabber?
Yeah, was it Aramis? I think somebody could correct me. Anyways, MXM versus FTR, returning FTR, Leo Rush versus Pac.
Yes.
That's going to be good. Thunder Rosa versus Maya World, and the conglomeration. Mark Briscoe, Tomohiro Ishii, and Kyle O'Reilly taking on the Premier Athletes. Daivari, Josh Woods.
There you go. There's Josh Woods. There you go. Josh Woods jobbing out to people.
Yeah, and then afterwards, you have Battle of the Belts taking place.
Yay. Why is that still a thing?
I couldn't tell you, but you have Undisputed Kingdom taking on Dustin Rhodes and the Von Erichs. Your guy Matt Taven.
I hope the Undisputed Kingdom win here. I know. Because, like,
you have Taya Valkyrie taking on the champion, Timeless, Toni Storm.
This is so out of nowhere.
Yeah. And Willow Nightingale taking on Deonna Purrazzo.
That I want to see.
Yeah.
That I want to see.
Yeah, this is tonight. I wanted to make sure, so.
Yes. You're really good.
Yeah. So, Maggie, plug your shit.
Guys, you can follow me on Twixter or X or whatever, at Maggie_IK, and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Please pray for me and my health, because it's Saturday, and it's like my second day of work. And then, like, I have three more shifts, and it feels like I've been working for 2 weeks straight. Please pray for me. Send all your prayers, like, all around. Just, I need those. Please. Thank you. Rob?
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X or Twix. I'm also on Instagram and Threads at FightfulRob. Next week, we will have our SummerSlam predictions. Looking forward to that. And who knows what else is going to be going on. But I want to say thank you for tuning in. We will see you guys next week for our big SummerSlam prediction show. So looking forward to that. But anyways, we will see you guys later.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.